First case of the day, appeal of Banco Americano, number 11-3860. Mr. Moskowitz.
Your Honors. My name is Harold Moskowitz. I'm here representing Banco Panamericano in its appeal of generally a turnover order entered by Judge Kendall and Judge Gottschall with Judge Gottschall in the underlying case, in which two specific creditors of Loop, the defendant Loop, were entitled to sell stock in a corporation called EasyLinks. Specifically, not on the entire turnover order, but in that part of the turnover order that referenced one particular creditor, Gulf Ventures, which came in on a motion to intervene, and as a result of that motion to intervene, it was able to collect a debt on a judgment that had entered in the Circuit Court of Cook County as compared to this particular case. We have asserted that on a number of reasons the motion to intervene should not have been granted, first of which is there was a lack of the granting of the motion to intervene caused the lack of diversity to come in, because Gulf Ventures was from the same state as the defendant, and therefore it would have destroyed diversity had they come in as they were supposed to have come in. We have cited cases to the proposition that when an intervening party attempts to intervene and that would cause a break in diversity, that the motion, that the complaint or the motion to intervene, as the case may be, under Rule 24 should not be granted.
Mr. Moskowitz, before
yes,
we
sir.
Go further into the merits, I'd like to raise a few questions about the jurisdiction over this appeal.
Yes, sir.
The district court entered an order that under which Loop paid Wachovia, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that payment was made?
Both were made pursuant to the motion for turnover.
And the Gulf Ventures payment was made?
At the same time,
Loop?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the money's changed hands. Loop has made the payments. Loop is not objecting, not appealing. Why does Banco have standing here?
As asserted in our particular response brief, we believe we have standing based on two bases. The first is, of course, that we are a creditor. This court specifically has ruled in two separate appeals that we are a creditor. And as a creditor, anytime assets of our debtor is being dissipated and an order being entered, which allows...
Loop's not in bankruptcy, is it?
Well, it was, but it was granted
out. Well, that was fraudulent, right?
So the bankruptcy court held.
And there was no appeal from that finding, was there?
No, there was not.
So we need to treat that as a fraudulent finding. And so is it your position that any creditor of a party to a lawsuit has standing to appeal a judgment under which, or an order under which, that debtor made a payment?
Not that where it made a payment, where it made an improper payment, which as a result of that payment affected the ability of that, potentially affected the ability of that debtor to repay my debt. Which is
potentially affected the ability to pay your debt.
Sure, because it dissipates assets.
And that means standing. Almost the whole world would have standing, right?
No, as recognized in the Aurora Loan case. Okay, Aurora Loan, which is a case cited specifically by Gulf Ventures, it specifically brings in the Illinois case of Citicorp Savings versus for Chicago, which is a 1995 appellate court case, and it says that, and it cites it with that it's that's a proper ruling, that any non-party may bring an appeal when that person has a direct, immediate, and substantial interest in the subject matter, which would be prejudiced by the judgment or benefited by its reversal. So that particular...
So any creditor who feels they would be better off if they could get a reversal of a judgment against their debtor can bring an appeal? Have we ever recognized anything remotely like that?
Well, I would point you on to the Aurora case, but more importantly, what has happened here is that there were cases in the dispute between Gulf and Banco commenced in the Circuit Court of Cook County and had been going on for a number of years, and it, being Gulf, had attempted to pierce the veil there, and it was unsuccessful. So it then piggybacked on the rulings in this court, walked into this court, and said, well, now you should have the assets being used to pay me. So, and one of the issues in that case was the priority of who should get paid first between Banco and Gulf. So the result of what is the allowing of the intervention of Gulf in this particular case is that it has null vitiated what happened in the Circuit Court of Cook County.
Well, wait a minute. Gulf had a judgment against Loop, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that judgment was still in existence at the time they intervened.
The judgment was in existence, not the citation. Yes, sir.
Right, right. So they're a secured creditor.
Yes, sir.
Given our earlier appeal, your earlier appeal, your lien was found to be a fraudulent transfer, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
At best, you're unsecured.
I'm sorry?
At best, you're unsecured. You're an unsecured creditor.
Subsequently became unsecured, yes, Your Honor. But we cited a case, we've cited cases in our original brief for the proposition that even under a fraudulent conveyance situation, until such time as the assets are conveyed back to the plaintiff, so to speak, that the citation, that the fraudulent conveyance is not considered changed. So at the time of our dispute with Gulf Venture in the Circuit Court, we were a prior security interest in the assets. Yes, ultimately, this court 5 years later said, no, you don't have a lien on that anymore. But when the litigation first started in 2003, we had a valid security interest and a prior valid security interest. And the ability of the citation to be vitiated and the ability of the what was going on in the Circuit Court of Cook County for someone who had normally not jurisdiction to piggyback and walk into a case which it was not a party in, which enabled it to get rid of all of its infirmities in a Circuit Court case, is what we're objecting to. So that's what happened here. By the court permitting the intervention, it allowed a non-diverse party to walk into a case, not having litigated, and get the fruits of the benefits of the litigation that had gone on between Wachovia and Loop, and all of a sudden, where it had, on the, almost the very same issue, lost in the Circuit Court of Cook County. It was able now to say, well, your honors have ruled that there is no lien anymore for Banco, or that the parties are one and the same, and which is the second what we've said. This, if this court rules that and is done, and their argument is that they should be entitled to do certain things because Banco is Loop and Loop is Banco and everybody is Greenblatt, then it's kind of ingenuous to say that we have no standing.
On that point, I've got two questions for you. First, I thought it was pretty clear that the doctrine of piercing the corporate veil is something that is done only to prevent third parties, to prevent fraud toward third parties, not something that the perpetrator can take off and on at will. Second question about that, tell me if I'm wrong about that. The second question is, even if we did treat Banco as Loop in this appeal, it would seem that then Banco would be responsible for Loop's consent to these orders and transactions, because this was all done with Loop's consent.
In response, I would say two things. So the first question is, what a piercing corporate veil is, it permits a court to ignore the legal fiction that a corporation and its shareholders are two separate entities, and therefore liability of a corporation is not imposed on its shareholders. Pearson DeVale now allows me as a creditor to go against the shareholder and have the shareholder pay the debt of the corporation. It generally does not.
I'm familiar with the general principle, but okay. How would that help you here? And if we were to ignore the corporate veil, then why wouldn't you also be responsible for Loop's consent to the transactions?
Loop's consent in the transactions was only after litigation and a court order. The court had decided that it had granted a turnover order, so it agreed to a procedure by which that turnover goes forward. But Loop originally did not consent to anything about golf.
But eventually they consented to the transactions, right? If I could just pursue one other quick line of questioning, Mr. Moskowitz, let me try to understand the standing issue from a slightly different angle. If we were to agree with you on anything related to the merits and vacated any order and remanded this action to the district court, what remedy would Banco seek from whom?
From whom?
From whom? What remedy would you seek and from whom?
If your honors would grant us what we're seeking, what would happen is the court would remand it back to the district court. The district court would have to throw Gulf Venture out of the case, and Gulf Venture would have to litigate
in
circuit court.
Money has already changed hands.
Money would have to come back.
I'm sorry?
The money would have to come back.
From whom to whom?
From Gulf to Loop, because Loop redeemed its stock.
Would the stock have to come back?
Since there was a redemption, okay, what would be that Loop would reissue its stock? Loop redeemed its own stock.
It was EasyLink stock, though.
EasyLink stock, yes.
Okay, so you're looking for us to remand so that somehow this transaction that Golf and Loop entered into voluntarily to resolve their dispute would be unwound. That's what this is about. Did you want to address the sanctions motion briefly?
Yes. We believe that the sanctions motion has no merit. We believe we've come here in good faith. We believe we presented arguments that are valid. We believe that the issues have merit. We believe that the what we have brought to this court, especially about the fake citations, is something that a court should take into account, and therefore that no sanctions should be entered against us. We have cited cases in our positions that we believe support our positions. It's up to your honors to agree or not to agree. But we have not just walked in here willy-nilly saying that listen to our appeal and we don't care. We have no assertion as to why we should be able to address your honor.
Thank you. Okay.
Right, thank you. Mr. Corden.
Your honors, and may it please the court. My name is Richard Gordon. I'm here representing Gulf Venture, the appellee. Judge, your honors, the first things I would like to address is a factual omission from Mr. Moskowitz. Mr. Moskowitz would like this court to believe that all of the EasyLink stock was sold to satisfy the Gulf Venture and Wachovia judgments. That's not true. Only so much of the stock as was necessary to satisfy those judgments was sold. The stock was valued not by us, but by EasyLinks at 90 cents a share. And so there was approximately 6 million shares sold to satisfy our $5 million plus judgments.
Sold by Wachovia.
Sold by Loop to EasyLinks to satisfy our judgment. The rest of the stock, which is 1.6 million shares of Series A stock, was given back to Loop in the care of Banco. There was also 23 million shares of common stock given to Loop in the care of Banco. Also 6.8 million shares of Series B stock and 2.5 million shares of Series AA stock. So everything that wasn't given to us was sent back to Loop so that Loop can provide it to its unsecured creditors like Banco. the idea that the asset was somehow diminished is undercut by the fact that all the stock was returned. Now, standing is indeed a threshold jurisdictional question here, and as Your Honors pointed out, stripped of its fraudulent lien, Banco is unable to articulate any theory as to how the district court's decision injured Banco in any legally or judicially recognizable way. The district court ordered Loop to pay Gulf Venture and Wachovia, the only secured judgment creditors of Loop. Banco cannot meet and has not met its burden to establish any direct injury. Banco paid no money to Gulf Venture. No Banco assets were used to satisfy these debts. The fact of the matter is that an indirect stake in another party's claims does not create appellate standing. Now, this court has already invalidated Banco's liens, and when this court ruled last year that Banco was no longer a secured creditor, that collaterally stopped Banco from raising the very arguments that it seems to be raising here today. The district court called the security interest a, quote, sham transaction, and that's exactly what it was. And without that security interest, without that sham transaction, Banco has no standing whatsoever. But even if Banco did have standing, Gulf Venture's intervention was entirely appropriate. From a jurisdictional standpoint, an indispensable party is determined at the time of the filing of the complaint. When Wachovia filed its complaint in June of 2005, it sought a confirmation of an arbitration award. Their complaint did not raise any issues about Banco Panamericano, Gulf Venture, Loop, EasyLink stock, any liens, any security interest. We had no way of knowing that any interest would be encumbered. We didn't even know about the lawsuit. But even if we did, there's nothing there that would suggest that we should have intervened at that time. It was only when Wachovia filed a motion for turnover to sell Loop's assets at a sheriff's sale that our need to intervene became concrete. And we did intervene. Banco called us and told us about the motion for turnover order. We intervened about 18 hours later in the district court. We filed our intervening complaint about 72 hours later. We didn't slow down anything. This was not litigation that was at the, the courts rule it, at the station house. This litigation continued for 2 more years because of delay tactics by Banco and Loop. Now, Your Honors, we filed a petition for fees under Rule 38 as well. As the bankruptcy court itself said, when the bankruptcy court ruled for us, they said if ever there was a bad faith bankruptcy filing, this is it. Well, I would submit, judges, that the same applies to this appeal. Banco has no standing to bring this appeal. They had no injury. They mischaracterize and miscite case law. Frankly, Your Honors, I think it's important to remember who the parties are here. You have Greenblatt, the 50% owner of Loop, Greenblatt, the 100% owner of Banco. You have a case where Loop went to the district court and said, we want to sell our stock to EasyLinks. It wasn't our idea. It was Loop's idea. Loop said, we want to do that. And the district court said, great, let's do that. And we agreed. And now, after that happens, Banco comes back and says, well, I think that that Gulf Venture should be removed from the turnover order. This is all gamesmanship, and it should not be countenanced by this panel. For those reasons, we respectfully request that the court uphold the findings of the district court and grant the motion for costs.
Thank you. Mr. Griesmeier.
May it please the court. My name is Chris Griesmeier. I am counsel for Wachovia Securities, now known as Wells Fargo Advisors. The issue with respect to Wachovia in this case is very, very narrow. The only issue on appeal is the award of attorney's fees to Wachovia. That's it. That's the only issue being appealed with respect to my client. And in this case, Banco loses that appeal as to Wachovia on three grounds. The first is the issue of standing, which we've already talked about. I'm sorry?
Have you been paid those fees?
Ooh, yes. So there were,
by Loop.
And it was the assets of Loop that were liquidated to pay not only our judgment, but our award of attorney's fees, not the assets of Banco, and Banco paid no money to satisfy our fee award. The issue then turns on whether or not Judge Gottschall abused her discretion in awarding us our attorney's fees. And it's a very highly deferential standard of review. And you have to keep in mind that in this case, Banco and Loop and EasyLinks took what should have been a very simple and straightforward post-judgment collection proceeding, the purpose of which was to identify, seize, and liquidate the assets of a judgment debtor to satisfy our judgment, and they forced us to spend 6 years chasing them. Over 570 docket entries in the district court in a simple post-judgment collection proceeding. There were objections, bad faith objections, frivolous discovery disputes, refusal to produce post-judgment discovery. There were motions for temporary restraining order, evidentiary hearings. At one point, there was a bad faith bankruptcy, which was dismissed. All of this, they did everything they could to hinder and delay our ability to collect our judgment and liquidate and seize Loop's assets. Our fee petition was supported by an affidavit and 134 pages of billing records containing more than 1,200 billing entries. Again, time spent over a six-year period of time. And Judge Gottschall reviewed that fee petition, exercised her discretion, and she didn't award us all of our fees. Our actual fees were $275,000, a little bit more. She awarded $238,000. She reduced the fees by more than $36,000, and she reduced the fees in part because of objections that Banco made. Now, Banco comes in and complains that she abused her discretion in not allowing it leave to file untimely objections. True, she did. She said, listen, sorry, you've been delaying these proceedings for 6 years. I am not going to let you come in the day your objections are due and ask for an extension of time. Notwithstanding that, she nonetheless considered all 10 of the objections that Banco complained about. And she actually sustained 3 of those objections and used those objections to reduce our award. So we filed a Rule 38 motion for sanctions as well. This is a bad faith appeal by Banco. Banco has done absolutely nothing to show that it has standing to appeal. It has done nothing to show that Judge Gottschall abused her discretion with respect to Wachovia in any respect. So we would ask that Judge Gottschall's order be affirmed. We would ask that our motion for sanctions be granted. We would ask that Banco and its counsel be jointly and severally liable for paying for all of our costs and attorney's fees occurred in connection with this appeal, which is the same order that Judge Goldgar entered when it dismissed Loop's bad faith bankruptcy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Moskowitz, we'll give you an additional minute.
First, let me point out that if you courts look out in docket 435, 470, and 471, the court will see that there were 3 attempts to have all of the stock of EasyLink sold pursuant to the turnover order. The issue of selling only some of the stock came after 3 such attempts. All of those offers of sale, some of which was arranged by the plaintiffs, would have sold all of the stock for approximately $5 million each. So we wouldn't have been paid had those actual certificates of offer of sale been granted. So the issue of if Mr. Gordon has this, you assume that this is how it worked out, and we originally agreed to have it, we being everybody of the defendants, originally agreed to have this arrangement where there was a redemption of sale. That happened much later. Regarding to counsel, as to the attorney's fees, I would point out this is not the only attorney's fees granted in this case. This particular petition, there was $1 million worth of fees.
You're at the conclusion of your time.
Thank you.
All right. The case will be taken under advisement.